Blog Talk Radio.
This is DJ Sana Gori, me here, you there, Taínos all over the world, and check this out. Today we are back in Block Talk Radio. That's Taíno Radio in the cyber world, and check this out. We are back. That's right, man. We're back right here in Taíno Radio, right here in the studios of Block Talk Radio. I'd like to thank everyone. It's been a while since we did a show through Block Talk Radio. I've been watching all the, reading all the comments and see all the people that have been connected to the shows. It's been a while, man. We've been doing Spotify at anchor.fm, and it's been great. You can catch some shows there as well. TainoRadio.com on Spotify. But listen, we're back in Block Talk Radio. This is awesome, and I'm really happy. People have been writing at TainoRadio1491@gmail.com. They've been writing about, hey, what's going on, man? What's going on? So what's going on? Hold on.
On a specified
1,000.
Help plane.
What?
Lieutenant.
No.
Sir. Draw by both. On not. Keep set.
That's it. That's it. You don't have to turn that dial anymore. You're right here. This is TainoRadio.com, and we're going to start today, Taíno Day. Happy Taíno Day. We're going to get into that later on. Why is it Taíno Day, December 25th? We're in 2022, but for now, let's take a moment of prayer, honoring our ancestors and honoring the sacred being that created everything.
Taíno calling song, calling of the 12 semis. Thank you.
Thank you for joining this show. For all you listeners who are listening live or listening to in the future, Faino Radio cannot live without the listeners. So I'd like to thank everyone once again. Bomatum, bomatum, thank you. We always start with prayer going forward. Arnino's ancestors and the sacred being. Just want to drop a note here. Many times people have asked me about this, about the sacred beings. Well, in our ancestral understanding, our ancestors, the stuff that was shared by the invaders, by the priests, much of that, we have to be really careful what we read. But one of the things that I do is I'm careful what I read, but I'm also careful of the present-day Taino people. I observe and I listen and I watch how we currently understand the sacred, okay? And it's very important to understand that Taino culture, as we know it, was not destroyed. It was passed down generation to generation. We may not believe certain things like we did back in 1492. Many of us are Christian, Muslim, atheist, and that's all right. We're Taino. This is our culture, our ethnicity. And under that, there's spiritualities. But our traditional spirituality, I believe, and archaeologists, anthropologists have written this since the early 1900s. They talk about our Semis, the Semi system. And one popular Semi that we know of is Yogahu Bagua Manakoti that was buried during the Yuka farming. And this is the divine masculine. And this is my understanding. Also, we have another Semi. It's very, very popular, and that is Atavesh, Atave, Ataveira, representing the feminine aspect, okay, of the sacred, the creatress, along with her son. And this was written by Ramon Pané, Bartolomé Las Casas. The invaders wanted to know what our ancestors knew and what they believed. So in my understanding, through prayer, through studies, watching my great-grandparents, how they believe, how they saw the world, there is definitely this masculine and feminine energy that's in our Caribbean mentality. And for many, many, well, at least in my understanding, the female has a lot of power. And then when you read about the ancestral history, you read that the female, the woman, had a lot of power as well. She was even the one who created the semis. It was the women, the duhos, the seats that were used in ceremonies by the caciques and the jiques. The women held a lot of power. It was the nephew of the, it was the cacique nephew on his sister side that became the new cacique to take his place. So there was a lot of understanding of this masculine and feminine energy. Then we have other semis that you just heard in the song. There's 12 altogether that we read through Ramon Panet and through other sources like Peter Martyr and so on. And check this out. For me, my understanding, this is my two cents, my understanding is that these are the different faces of God, the different faces of the ultimate reality, the unmoved mover, the sacred being. These are the different faces. So our ancestors were super smart, super intelligent, super spiritual. They were one with nature, and they saw God in nature. They saw the supreme being in nature, and they broke it up into different divisions. Actually, you even hear this language in the Caribbean, you know, the sacred mysteries and the divisions. In Dominican Republic, Quisqueya, we have one of the divisions is the water division, and that's the Indios. So this is it, 2022, people still honoring these traditions. December 25th, 1492, our favorite villain, our favorite son of a gun, Christopher Columbus, he kept a journal of many of his voyages because he was writing to the king and queen, reporting his findings. And on Tuesday, 25th of December, Christmas Day, he had a pretty lengthy entry that was kind of insightful because he was the first European to offer an insight of our ancestors. And this is before the battles, this is before the wars, before the greed, before you heard about gold. It's actually several days before you heard about that our ancestors had abundant gold. We had so much gold, especially in those Cibao Mountains and Quisqueya, that it was worthless for us. We didn't really see it as a powerful mineral that we can use. We actually mixed it, the guanine. But getting ahead of myself here, I'm going to actually read from his journal. And this is what he said. Last night, while sailing in light breezes from the Sea of St. Thomas to Santa, to Punta Santa, and with my ship a league off the point at the end of the first watch, around 11 o'clock, I decided to lay down to sleep, for I had not slept for 2 days and a night. Seeing it was calm, the helmsman gave me the helm to an apprentice seaman and went off to sleep. It was the Lord's will that at midnight, knowing that I had lain down to sleep and seeing that the sea was like water in a bowl, a dead calm, everyone lay down to sleep, and at the helm was left to the boy. And the currents took the ship very gently onto one of the banks, which could be heard and seen a good league away, even at night. The boy, feeling the rudder, grounding and hearing the noise of the sea, cried out, and I heard him, and I got up before anyone else had realized that we were aground. Then the master, who was the officer of the watch, came on deck, and I told him and the others to get into the boat we were towing. Take an anchor and drop it astern. He dropped into the boat with a crowd of others, and I thought they were obeying my orders. But all they did was row off to the caravel, half a league to windward. Now, when I saw my own men fleeing to the boat, the sea falling, and the ship now in danger, I had no alternative but to cut away the main mast and lighten ship as much as I could see if we could have float her off. However, with the tide abetting all the time, there was no help for her. She took list, her seams began to open, and she filled up from below the waterline. Seeing, hold on, sir. Sorry about that. Just lost my place there. Seeing no way of saving her, I transferred to the caravel, taking all the men with me for their safety. There was still a light offshore wind, and much of the night was already gone. So not knowing our way out of the banks, I sailed off, and until daybreak, when I returned to the ship along the landward, east of the reef. Before that, I had sent the marshal of the fleet to tell the king what was happening, as to say that, because of my wish to accept his invitation to go to his harbor to visit him. And he requested last Saturday, I had lost my ship on a reef on my way to his village, a league and a half away. He burst into tears when he heard the news of our misfortune, and sent all of his people from the village in numerous large canoes. With their help, we began to unload everything from the ship. We received much help from the king, a.k.a. Cacique, that she was unloaded and everything cleared from the decks in no time. He supervised things himself with his brothers and his relatives, both on the ship and in guarding what was taken ashore, making sure that all was safe. From time to time, he sent one of his relatives to me in tears to console me and to tell me not to be distressed or downcast, for he would give me everything he had. I swear to your majesties that nowhere in Castile could anything have been better looked after. Not a lace point went missing. The king had all our things put together beside his palace, while they cleared several of the houses which he wanted to give us to store everything under guard. Armed men to keep night all night. The king or the cacique and all of his people kept weeping as if deeply affected by a loss. They are such a loving disposition, free from greed, friendly and willing to do anything. And I swear to your majesties, I believe there cannot be no better people, not a better land, anywhere on earth. They love their neighbors as themselves, and their speech is as gentle and kindly as can be, always with a smile. Men and women, it is true, go about as naked as they were born. But I assure your majesties, that their behavior among themselves is above reproach. The king is held in great majesty and has a stateliness of bearing delightful to see. They remember things well and are eager to learn about everything. The curiosity makes them ask about this and that to find the cause and effect of it all. And this was written in 1492 on December 25th, Christmas Day. So I just want to share with you all that this is the first time a European, unfortunately it was Christopher Columbus, as we know what kind of man he or leader he he became in the Caribbean islands. But this is the first time a European from a distant, from far-off lands, gave his opinion, his observation of the Taino people, an indigenous Caribbean people. So I think for us as Taino, it's very important to break this down. It's very important to remember. I know a lot of people celebrate Christmas. Many people celebrate different holidays during this time. And that's all good because it gives people hope. It gives people a faith. But for us Taino people who are looking back to the tradition to offer us a little glimpse, a little understanding and insight into who we are as a people. Who can we become looking to the past, present, and the future? It's always good to honor. This is what we did. Ancestral veneration. That's what I'm doing right now. We're looking back how our ancestors can teach us how to live an honorable life. So I want to break this down. I want to start where he said, I swear. But right now, he's swearing to the king and queen, Isabel and Fernandez, that no wearing Castile, yes, in Spain, could everything have been better looked after. Not a lace point went missing. So here we have this virtue of not stealing, not taking advantage, especially when someone is vulnerable. So his ship went down, they lost all their things, and the cacique and the warriors, his relatives, they all banded together, they unified to help Columbus retrieve that which went under the sea. So right there we have a little glimpse of our people, let me slow down here. Not only were they generous with their time, they were also empathetic, and they were also great swimmers, man. Going down in that ocean and retrieving all the private property of Columbus and the ship, that's just amazing. That's going the extra mile. That's showing a people who's virtuous and who really focus on the virtue of honoring things that don't belong to you. So it's very important to say our ancestors definitely were not thieves or pirates. So the kind had all our things put together beside his palace, or we can say his gani, while they clear several of the houses. So there's that whole sense of hospitality. They're clearing out bohios so they can store the stuff that they found under the water, and also the people. The Spaniards or the Europeans, which he wanted to give us to store everything under guard, so they knew that they were going to give him protection. And he ordered two armed men to keep watch all night. So there you go. So this is that whole sense of giving, okay, gratitude. The king and all of his people kept weeping as deeply affected by our loss. So you can imagine, this is what we call empathy. Okay, our people were very empathetic. They were kind. They understood loss. So our ancestors, you know, they took nothing for granted. If they lost something, it meant harm. It meant harm. If they lost crops, if they lost certain provisions, it would affect the tribe. It would affect the families. So right there, they were super empathetic of the loss, and they were emotional. They cried. Imagine, these are strangers, but they had a connection with them as human beings. Remember, our humanity is sacred. They are of such a loving disposition. So right here, Columbus is saying that they are loving, free from greed. So they had no indication that they wanted to steal these things or take them for themselves. They actually stored in these bohios. Friendly, that's the hospitality aspect of who we are as a people, even to today. And willing to do anything. See, that's going the extra mile, okay? Going the extra mile. And I just want to take a pause here. When you visit a lot of the islands, when you go to the country, right, and you go to the towns as well, you still will run into people who haven't been colonized, and you see this spirit of giving. You see this free from greed, very loving disposition, willing to do anything to make you happy. I've encountered this so many times in the islands that I mentioned here on the show. This is the spirit of the Taino. This is our indigenous virtues that still is operative to this day. You know, the invasion took a lot from us, but our virtues are still alive and well. And yes, many of us have been colonized, and I'll have those bad days that I don't want to share, you know, that I want to be that capitalist, you know. But these are the virtues. We have to look back and see this, okay? Now, he also says, I swear to your majesties. Again, he's swearing to the king and queen. I believe that there can be no better people. So, obviously, this was a huge impression on Columbus. Now, you know, I've read a lot in the history of medieval history, especially in Europe. And one thing that you read in history is that Europeans were very violent to each other. Especially if you were in power. And as you know, for many of you who have studied medieval history, poisoning was like common to poison an enemy or to poison a leader or a landlord, you know, feudal systems, you know, poisoning. And it's still used now, poisoning political opponents. But here's the thing. Columbus, when he encountered our ancestors, it just blew his mind. He says, wait a minute, I'm not used to this. These people are truly good people, noble people, okay? And he said it, I swear there's no better people I've met. Now, he also said, not a better land. This is where you get this imagery of paradise, the Caribbean islands. This is before climate change. This is before colonization. Man, I can imagine the fruits, the vegetation, the animals, the colors, the aromas. I would say that was paradise, man. I would say in certain places you go even now in the country, Quisqueya, Jamaica, Cuba. Now, my experience has been Borinquen and Quisqueya, and I've only seen photos and videos of Cuba, Jamaica, and also Haiti. And let me just tell you something. There's still areas, paradise. So, and that's our homelands. So, and he says anywhere on earth. Now, he's a traveler. He's traveled, so I'll take his word for it. He's been around, so he says he's never seen anything so better on earth. Now, he also says that they love their neighbors as themselves. This is a very Christian virtue. We hear it all the time from Christians, that you have to love your neighbor. You know, love thyself and love thy neighbor, and this is what Columbus is stressing here. So this is a tribal people. This is the heart of tribalism, where you look out for each other. Okay, it's not about the I, it's about the we. And he saw it in action. Now he says, and their speech is as gentle and kindly as can be. Speech, language, which unfortunately we lost the traditional language. And many Yucayeques and many folks have restored a lot of the dialects. But the traditional Taino as we know it was gentle. It was gentle, just like their kindness. So I could imagine our language was really beautiful, our words. And some of these words are beautiful, you know, oro, which means love, tagwe, good son, you know. Bomatun, it's like a song, bomatun, which means thank you. And they always would smile, okay. And I don't know about you, man, but if you're Caribeño, if you're from the Caribbean, have one drop Caribbean, you know our smiles are precious. That's our medicine. That's our gift to the world, the smile, happiness, the joy, celebrating. That's who we are. This is what our ancestors gave us. So he also said that the men and the women are, you know, they're naked, just like they were born, you know. But I assure you, so he's trying to tell them, hey, it's all right, man, king and queen, because they behave among themselves like no other, is above reproach. So that's what you call honoring, man. That's what you call honoring. You know, you look back now, go back to the future. We have women and children being, you know, who are missing. There's a murders. There's a huge spike in murders the past few years on women on the islands and children as well. And you see this. You see this on reservations. You see this all across America on indigenous people. So here's a time that Columbus is saying, man, their behavior was definitely better than us, man. that's how I see it. You know, that's how I interpret it. You know, so their nudity was not something that was sexualized. It was something that was fitting for a Caribbean hot climate. Okay, so. But I assure you, majesties, okay, I'm sorry, that's what I said. Okay, the king is held in great majesty. Now, here's the thing, the cacique, the role of the cacique was the representative of the tribe. So this person had to be humble, smiling, hospitable, and according to the story, went the extra mile. So if anyone out there who's listening wants to be a cacique one day, or if you are a cacique, these are the virtues that we see that Columbus noted, okay? That the great majesty, the stateliness of bearing, it was delightful to see. Of course, he just saw a cacique give him warriors. They went into the ocean. They could have drowned. They got their stuff. And then they give them bohios to store the stuff, and they probably give them food and all that. You know, this is all organized by the cacique. No one told the cacique what to do. He did it. So this is just amazing insights. So even though we don't have traditional cacique structure as we once did prior to 1492, one thing that we do have is these beautiful insights. Beautiful insights, what it is to be a cacique, to be a leader, very organized. I remember Dr. Yare Melendez, the great, late Dr. Yare Melendez, used to tell her children when they used to mess up and kid around and fool around when they couldn't dance right in their Jaito dancing practice, or they got they couldn't dance that well, she would stop everything. She would say, los taínos eran muy organizados. Vamos tratar mejor. The Taino were very organized. Let us stop and let's get it correct. Let's get it right. So we don't take anything for granted. The cacique took nothing for granted. You went the extra mile. And they remembered things well. Look at that. Columbus said they remembered things well. So imagine you're one in nature. You're very observing. I would say they were visual learners, of course. They didn't have a writing system. So their mind was super sharp. This is what I'm getting at. And they're eager to learn about everything. There you go. They're eager to learn about everything. So you're talking about a high intelligence right here, of people who are highly intelligent. And Columbus saw that. All right? And then they say they were curious. They were curious. They wanted to learn everything, and the curiosity makes them ask about this and that to find the cause and effect of it all. So here's a beautiful insight for all you Yucayeques out there, for all you people who are trying to connect with your ancestors, connect with communities, connect with others. We never stop learning, okay? And what does that mean? We have to learn from the northern brothers and sisters in the north, the tribal societies that survived 1492 and so on. We have to look at the South Americans. We have to learn from them, okay? Not take from them, appropriate, but we learn the common understanding, that common ancient language, the common common ancient knowledge. And then we look at these things, we read these things, and I know Christopher Columbus is not a very nice man. Later on, he took advantage of our ancestors, as you know, the history. You know, those naked people that he said he saw that they were above reproach. What happened? The rapes, the slavery. He cut their hands when they would not bring the 3 ounces of gold quota a month. Or if people resisted, even if the Spaniards resisted his brutality, he would cut your nose. Eventually, the warrior societies, when they fought back, they call them rebels, and they were caught, and they were tied to trees, and they would release these war dogs, and the war dogs would chew on the calves of these rebels. They would put honey on the calves, and these hungry dogs will come and eat them apart, and they would die of pain and loss of blood. This is the same man that's writing The Beautiful Things. So obviously, this is that romance period of his life, the noble savage, as many scholars have written about. But guess what? Columbus, I believe, honestly, what I just read right now in his journal was an honest insight and understanding of what he encountered. And he was very excited to write it in his journal so the king and queen could learn about him. Okay? But a few days later, he found out about the gold. As he started meeting more Taino, he started seeing gold ornaments that we call guanin. And things got really, really crazy. So at this time, I just want to take a pause right now, and I want to play a little song in honor of our ancestors. And even though it's a time to say, hey, this is our day, man, that Europe, for the first time, a European talked about us, I just want to take this time in prayer and insight into remembering the legacy they left behind. And this song, like I played many times in the past, is called Taka Naboria Mayani Makana. Makana, and it means, please, don't kill me. And this was written by Juan Luis Guerra, Dominican Republic, back in 1992, when everyone was celebrating 500 years of the Dia de la Raza, the Day of the Race. Juan Luis Guerra wrote this beautiful song representing our, you know, honoring our ancestors who were murdered. So we can never forget their legacy. And he sang this song in the Taino dialect.
Makana.
Hey, thank you, Luis Guerra. Thank you for that beautiful song. That's truly amazing. Thank you so much. And wherever you are, blessings. Bo Kwatukan, blessings to you. So on a lighter note, I'd like to thank everyone for listening and all you Taínos out there who are listening in or in the future who have downloaded this show. I want to honor you. Bo Kwatukan, blessings. I honor your presence in this world, this life right now in 2022. I'd like to honor you because you are Taíno. You are noble. You are above reproach. You are Taíno. So do your best. Do the best in those virtues like Columbus highlighted. Okay? I know we don't like to hear his words, but this is right before the battles and the wars. Our cacique back then, he worked his way in, went the extra mile. He even showed some tears of empathy. And then they shared their homes. And as I said, the virtues are powerful. So let's honor that in our lives. Let's do our best to walk the walk, not just talk it, but walk the talk. And this last song, I'd like to end the show. This is a song that I mixed. It's a super remix by me, DJ Sanakoi. Let's party. The title's called Let's Get Started. So wherever you are, happy Taíno Day. Bon Kwatukan, blessings.